One of the experts who testified before the committee in opposition to lifting the ban on conversion therapy was Brian Michael. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Mental Health America of Wisconsin, and he joins us now. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So we just heard from Matthew Shurka about his experience having undergone conversion therapy. In your belief, what is it about the therapy that causes such harm, even leading people to suicide?
Well, really what a lot of the bad and adverse effects come down to is, making a young person who's living with these thoughts feel more rejected and isolated. And we do know that those feelings can lead to increased rates of depression, suicide attempts, suicide ideation. Young folks who are part of the LGBTQ community are already at higher risk of depression and self-harm, but when that is compared to those who feel highly rejected by their caregivers, by their families, that can result in nearly a 9 times higher rate of attempting suicide, 6 times higher rate of depression, and about 3.5 more times likely of illegal drug use and HIV rates.
Wow. So who are the therapists who provide this conversion counseling if it is so overwhelmingly opposed by professionals?
Yes, unfortunately, we don't have a running list of those individuals and therapists who do engage in that therapy or in those types of interventions, despite how many professional and medical associations have disavowed and denounced this type of intervention. Everything from American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, Academy of Pediatrics, the School Counselor Association. But what parents and families who are seeking sufficient and helpful support can look for is that this type of intervention might be masked under different types of terms. So it's also referred to as reparative therapy, or could be regarded as, could be called sexuality counseling or sexual attraction fluidity. So really those who are engaging this practice, there's even a way of avoiding the kind of flagging term of conversion therapy by simply describing it as something else, when in effect it is still maintaining the same purpose that the social worker associations were denouncing, of attempting to change someone's orientation, really against their will, or at a time when they haven't developed to the point to make those decisions.
Given all of this, what was your reaction when the committee voted to lift the ban on conversion therapy?
You know, for those who attended that hearing and witnessed that hearing, it was hours of testimony against lifting this ban, coming from all variety of sectors, whether it was individuals in that community themselves, social workers, Trevor Project, national organizations, Mental Health America of Wisconsin, all coming out to say not only that this practice is harmful, but what that committee did was also say that in creating this ethical boundary, the social worker associations and professional organizations overstepped their bounds. And really the committee was couching their argument on saying that this was a capricious and arbitrary use of that rulemaking authority. And that is why the committee said, we are going to remove that rule. The committee during that hearing expressly said several times, we're not here to talk about whether or not conversion therapy is good or bad, despite overwhelming evidence showing that it's harmful. But our statement really was, we don't need to talk about that because it is a harmful practice. But the social workers and those professional associations have the knowledge and the expertise to state this is an unethical practice, and if you are going to engage in this practice, you are going to be acting outside the bounds of your professional conduct.
Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Brian Michael. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me join you. Take care.